Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the body of Christ, and I thank you so much for your wonderful people coming up this wonderful Christmas morning. Father, you have spoken to my heart and the things I have to share with your wonderful people. Father, I hope they're blessed, and I hope they look forward with much vision this year, much hope and much expectancy, because Father, we know that every year that passes, we are that much closer in the time period of your wonderful return. And so, Father, today I ask that you anoint your people to receive, anoint my lips to speak. Father, we're open to whatever you have. Hallelujah. I prepared, but Father, even though man prepares, still you're in charge. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. If you will, open up to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And of course, all of you know that I've been excited about how the Lord is revealing to me many answers about many things from the past to the present and to the future. And I'm going to tell you something. What will open you up to much revelation is that if you don't take revelation personally as an attitude to judge other churches and other ministries and other people with, but you use it as insight to lead people, you're a lot better off. Praise God. And with that, God will give you more light. And of course, I've shared with you just here recently how I needed an answer for where the church is at. And anyway, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, this is a pastoral epistle. And I know we're talking about Christmas, and I know we're talking about the birth of Jesus and everything. But today I want to close the chapter of last year by really focusing in on the purpose for Jesus coming and manifesting himself into this world. And I know that it angers us, especially me. The more light I get, the more angry I become when I see people willing to be ignorant of a glorious appearing of a Savior for the whole world. Amen. And we serve a wonderful Lord, and we serve a mighty and glorious God. Amen. And so in Timothy here, 1 Timothy chapter 3, I guess the best place to start would be verse 14. These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. And the word mystery here, literally in the Greek, means hidden truth. Hidden truth. Well, it's truth that you can't find on the surface. You have to go beneath the surface to find this truth. That God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in glory. Glory. God was manifested in the flesh. In the book of John, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son," actually in the Greek, "the only begotten God, the one being in the bosom of the Father, that one declared Him." Now, all of these steps, I'm going to quote to you Scripture, and we're going to read some. But these 6 points here about the purpose of Jesus coming is powerful. First of all, no one has seen God at any time, but only the one who came from the bosom of the Father. He's the only one that has seen Him, and He declared Him. declared what God is. And I got news for you. Religion has given the wrong image to the world about our risen Savior. It has. Justified in the Spirit. This is in the book of Acts, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. In Romans 1:4, it says, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Yes, Jesus suffered spiritual death, the pains of it, because we had been slighted for spiritual deaths and the pains of it. Now, in Acts chapter 1, turn there. And notice it said, seen by angels. Seen by angels. In Acts chapter 1, the first thing that had taken place in verse 9, let's go to verse 9. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight, referring to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Glory to God. Now, if you will, turn over to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And in 28, let's go to verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, Do not be afraid, for I know now that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee, where you will see him. Behold, I have told you. And then we find in an account where angels came and ministered to him after his fasting. And so he was seen of angels. God was manifested in flesh. He was justified in spirit. But then it goes on to say, preached among the Gentiles. But I say, they have not heard. Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But now has been made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures has been made known to a nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith. Now, I know that there's a scripture that we find over in Matthew chapter 24 where it says this message has to go out into all the world before he returns. You got to read that scripture and leave it in its setting. The message that he was speaking of was the preaching that has to be done during tribulation, not the message that we have today. It's a different message. Our message is centered around the dispensation of grace. The message that will be preached to all the ends of the world before the Lord can return is a message that God will declare during the 7-year period of tribulation. And how that will be administered will be angels will float across the heaven and preach the return of the Lord. The two witnesses that will be murdered and then resurrected, they will preach. The 144,000 converted Jews off the Gentiles' message, they will preach the gospel during tribulation and the return of the Lord. And last but not least, believers who are converted during tribulation will also preach of the coming of the Lord. That verse has nothing to do with Jesus not being able to return until the world hears the gospel. The world has heard the gospel in every generation and dispensation that it was preached from the time of Christ. I guarantee you that. So everyone has had the opportunity to hear the gospel of the Lord. Then believed on in the world. In John, there are several places where it says, and many of the people believed in him. And many more believed because of his own word. And then it says, received up into glory. Mark 16 says, so then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. And so, to end that, I want to say this, that just recently coming into the full understanding of the universal body of Christ and beginning to get answers and why certain things have been dying and why certain things didn't continue on in the impact of when they began, God began to give me an understanding about the universal church, and we as the body of Christ has stepped away from the original intent that the body of Christ was intended for. And so God had wonderful men come up and raised up in strength and added to the body of Christ, but we are in that time frame, and I believe it wholeheartedly, because I asked the Lord to show me, what is the end time going to look like? Are we contending for a revival that I don't find in the Word of God? What am I to look for? I do find a revival after the church is gone. I find that many will come into the kingdom of God. But I don't find that in the church age, in our dispensation. And yet, I believe that. You know what I mean? But I can't give you scriptures for it. But finally it dawned on me that I've been looking in the wrong place. God is going to do something with the glorious church before he takes it. The church is going to take a change. And this is where I'm speaking to you prophetically. The Lord began to tell me that many churches now have strained themselves. They've hewn out cisterns of their own with cracks in it that can't hold the water. The church of God should have rivers of living water flowing out of it. We shouldn't be hewing out cisterns of our own. And I begin to understand the universal body of Christ. I'm beginning to see a hope for the church that I had never seen before. And I'm going to tell you something. This revelation comes with great joy in my heart, because you are going to see a time period. And Mike Huffman, Maureen's husband, I don't know whether he's here. I think he's here today. He was talking about this crack in the earth. And he was sharing it again with me in the men's breakfast and adding more insight to it in revelation. But I do agree with him. I believe that the closer of the return of the Lord is, we are going to have less options to be complacent in our walk with God. I think the church is going to start coming together and resurrect itself according to the intended purpose that the church was meant to be. A body that is members one of another. I praise God for the men of the past and that rose up in power and strength. I praise God for them. But that was not the will of God to build the church. He intends to build the church that the gates of hell shall not prevail against. And denominationalism, and I don't mean this in a harmful way, but denominationalizing has destroyed the universal body of Christ. That's why when an organization has raised up and embraced all of them, died out itself, because they grabbed a hold of something that was broken off for the intended purpose of the universal body of Christ. Glory to God. And so you're going to see the universal church rise up in its complete knowledge, because God is spreading this understanding to many. And many that are in denominational settings where there's a doorpost across their pillars that says the first church of so-and-so, and the second church of so-and-so, and whatever it is, Four Corners or whatever it is, I believe that those people are going to step out from under denominationalism and come be a part of the universal body of Christ, and many will come to the understanding of what the real church is all about. Glory to God. Glory to God. Don't you believe that? Hallelujah. Because I'll tell you, when you break off from life, death begins to set in. Death will begin to set in because you break off from life. God laid His Word out so that when you touch it, it brings life to you. Glory to God. It brings life. Now, I saw this, I read this vision, been many, many years ago. But this vision stuck to me like something glued itself to me. And just recently, as the Lord's been showing me how He's going to deliver His people from bondage, the believers from bondage, from things that the Bible does not support as called the proven faith. And He's going to get the church back to where we're functioning as a team again and not lone members. Are you following what I'm saying? You know, it's too many times we've had specific players carry teams. You know, where would the Green Bay Packers be without Aaron Rodgers? You begin to wonder, right? What happened to the Colts? They lost who? Manning. What happened? You see, this has happened to the body of Christ. Men have risen up in power. They've added to the kingdom of God, but they themselves didn't fulfill their ministry and died out. The only ones that really fulfill their ministry is the ones that added to the body of Christ. Their ministries have been fulfilled, and as a result of that, they have fulfilled the divine plan for the life. One of them is Kenneth Hagin. Another one's John Osteen. Many of these great men of God but the reason that their ministry has survived, Billy Graham, I love Billy Graham. But the reason that these men have fulfilled their ministries, they've done something that was necessary to build the body of Christ. I'm beginning to see it now. Are you following me? Because that was God's intended purpose, is to build the body of Christ. And I think we're in the small beginnings of this. Not only me am I seeing it, but I know that many others will see it, because Christ is not centered in one place. He's not centered it by His Word. He's centered all over the world. And how do you know if He's centered all over the world? How many of you know that whatever revelation we get, others will get the same revelation and will rise up and get this information out? And I will begin to see many people abandoning denominational theories and getting back to the Word of God, the raw principle of it where it belongs. Now, as I begin to see this, this prophecy came back to my mind. And I didn't have no idea where the book was until God just supernaturally showed me. And if you've ever been in my office, I got bookshelves after bookshelves. So it was a miracle that I turned around and saw right where it was. Okay, here's the vision that Tommy Hicks had. And that many of you probably don't even know who he is, because he's gone on to be with the Lord. But he was very much a man of faith and power. And this prophecy, I think, was back in 1956 or 61, somewhere around there. So let me read it to you. And I believe this is what I'm beginning to see. I believe it. You know, there are many who are members of a church, and there are many that are not members of a church, they're just saved. And I believe you're going to see the body of Christ become members of the church. And when you are a member, you're an active part of the body of Christ. And I think Satan has got in there and has gotten a hold of the universal church and perverted it. Satan has gotten in there somewhere. It's a sad day. It's a sad day when you meet with other believers and you can't talk about the issue of praying in tongues. And yet praying in tongues is very much a part of the universal body of Christ. And there is no word that substantiates that it ever passed away. I know, I've tried to look for it and find it. Well, where did it come from? Rebellious men who don't speak in tongues had their own opinion about it rather than submitting to the universal church and seeing what God has to say about it. It is a language we all need without reservation. Here's the vision that he had. This is back in 61. As the vision appeared to me after I was asleep, I suddenly found myself in a great high distance where I was. I do not know, but as I was looking down upon the earth, suddenly the whole world came into view. Every nation, every kindred, every tongue came before my sight. From the east and the west, from the north and the south. And I recognized every country and many cities that I had been in. And I was almost in fear and trembling as I stood beholding the great sight before me. And at that moment, when the world came into view, it began to lightning and thunder. As the thundering flashed over the face of the earth, my eyes went downward and I was facing the north. And suddenly I beheld what looked like a great giant. And as I stared and looked at it, I was almost bewildered by the sight. It was so gigantic and so great in stature. His feet seemed to reach to the North Pole and his head to the South. Its arms were stretched from sea to sea. I could not even begin to understand whether this were a mountain or whether this to be a giant. But as I watched it, I suddenly beheld this great giant. I could see it was struggling for life, to even live. But his body was covered with debris from head to foot. And at times this great giant would move its body and act as though it would even raise up at times. And when it did, thousands of little creatures seemed to run away, hideous looking creatures, would run away from this giant. And when he would become calm, they would come back. All of a sudden, this great giant lifted his hands towards the heavens. And then it lifted its other hand. And when it did, these creatures by the thousands seemed to flee away from this giant and go out into the darkness and into the light. Slowly, this giant began to rise. And as he did, his head and hands went into the clouds. And as he arose to his feet, he seemed to have cleansed himself from the debris and filth that was upon him. And he began to raise his hands into the heavens as though praising the Lord. And as he raised his hands, it was even unto the clouds. Suddenly there were clouds seemed silver, the most beautiful silver that I had ever known. And as I watched the phenomenon, it was so great I could not even begin to understand what it all meant. I was so stirred as I watched it. And I cried unto the Lord and said, "O Lord, what is the meaning of this?" And it felt as if I were actually in the Spirit. And I could feel the presence of the Lord even as I was asleep. And from these clouds suddenly there came great drops of liquid light raining down upon this mighty giant. And slowly this giant began to melt and began to sink. And as it were, into the very earth itself. And as he melted, his whole form seemed to have melted upon the face of the earth. And this great rain began to come down, liquid drops of light, as it were, and began to flood the very earth itself. And as I watched this giant that seemed to melt, suddenly it became millions of people over the face of the earth. And as I beheld the sight before me, the people stood up all over the world and they were lifting their hands and they were praising the Lord. And I believe that what he's referring to here is before the Lord returns, there's going to be a rise again in the universal body of Christ. It's going to reach out again and touch many nations. And I believe that liquid silver of light that was coming down is a wisdom that the men were crying out from the first raising of the hand for the wisdom of God to fall on the church. Glory to God. And that wisdom then would melt into the earth and everyone would benefit from it. Glory to God. Can you believe that? From a little baby in a manger to the whole nations of the world. Only God can perform something like that. Glory to God. Only God could do that. Oh, people, I'm going to tell you, this year when you face it with a determination and purpose in your heart that you are not going to be forgetful of your risen Lord, but you're going to be active with Him. You'll be consistent with Him and you'll get in because many of you have had calls. You haven't even begun to answer it because you've allowed yourself to grow cold in Him. But come alive in the Lord. Come alive in Him. And those creatures that have been trying to stop the church, they're going to fall off the church. And I believe that those creatures, the church has brought on themselves. Because it says, as long as the church was moving, the creatures would move away. But when the church became complacent and non-moving, they came back. Well, I believe that it's over. I believe there's going to be a move of the church. I'm going to tell you how it's going to start. It's going to start by men and women of God starting to pray. And then it's going to start by the revelation and wisdom of God coming down upon the body of Christ. Not individual people, but the body of Christ to build that body. Bring it back into view. Bring it back into focus like it's supposed to be. Then we won't have brothers and sisters dividing themselves from each other by firm belief, but we'll have unity of one heart and one mind so we can get the job done and go on home and be with our Redeemer forever. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You believe that? I do. I believe it. I believe it. And I'll tell you what, since I've been seeing this, I kind of found my niche now. John Shear said something to me that was tremendous, and I'll stop after this because I get too excited. Well, what do you want me to be? Go for it. I can be this kind of pastor. Isn't God good? Hallelujah. I was reading the account of the appearing of Jesus and how the reports were that the dawning of the God-man that came to the earth, it was not a silent night. It was not a calm and peaceful night. The dawning of Jesus being birthed into this world was just the opposite. They were saying that many people were frightened. And they were running into the city. And they were, and the shepherds were saying, disturbing everybody by what they saw in the heavens. Glory to God on the highest and angels. I got news for you. Hebrews chapter 1 talks about how the angels longed for the day that they would see mankind regain back what belonged to them from the eons and eons of time. Planet Earth was put back into the hands of mankind through Jesus Christ. Yeah, there was a stirring, man. There was a stirring. I'll tell you what, God didn't come and manifest Himself in a way that mankind thought He would. But just His presence alone was enough to shake the world when He did appear. And I'll tell you what, people. God will shake your world. All you have to do is turn to Him and start praying. I'm going to pray 2 hours. Don't do that. Just say, I'm just going to turn to God and just let God do the rest. Just do that. I'm going to turn to God. Get that prayer going in you. Get that prayer going in you. Man, that'll shake you up. Hallelujah. If you haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost, quit robbing yourself of some fire. And if your tongue has frozen over the years, it's stiff, loosen it. Put a fire under you. Go around and light a match and put it under your tongue. It'll melt that old dead thing. Come alive. This year is going to be the best year yet, I believe it, for the church. Many of you are going to find God do wonderful things this year. There is a good day for everyone in the Lord. And many of you are probably saying, well, I hope I don't go through the next year, the next year like I did the last year. You know what? Don't think that way. Think in yourself, I'm going to change. I'm going to have a different year than I had last year. This year is going to be the best year yet. Hello? I'm excited. Thank God for John Sheeran and his effort to the Lord. I stood here one day and the Lord spoke to me and told me more light was going to come. And through Maxine, I don't know if you remember when Maxine was here and speaking to me, and I could hear it in English, and I thought you all were hearing her in English, and some of the things she said didn't need to be given to the body. And so when I looked at you all and I said, well, what'd you think? And you all went, so I knew right away, you guys heard it in tongues. And some of the things he said, even about John Cook, he said that John would come into fresh insight on end time things, and his tongue would be very prophetical. And John doesn't stand up and give a prophetic word, but when he teaches, he is a prophetic man of God. He speaks the word, the oracles of God. And what more prophetic do you need than that? I've seen people stand up and claim they were some kind of prophet and open their mouth and nothing but junk came out of. Hallelujah. But that stirred my heart. Stirred my heart in such a way that I knew that God was going to do something great, not just for by His Word, but for many churches. And it's going to be men and women that seek God. Do you guys believe that? That's going to seek the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 And I believe this giant that he saw, I believe that giant was the church. Because in Scripture, tons of Scripture, it says that the body of Christ. Hallelujah. 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 You younger people that are here today, I'm going to tell you something. There's something valuable in youth. I don't care what anybody says. Young people, there's something valuable in your life. Right now, you're at the crossroads of probably the greatest time of impressions in your life you could possibly have. But this is a time where you need to struggle. I mean, make every effort to press into the kingdom of God, because God wants to use you. You have that physical ability to run without ceasing. You have that physical ability to be what you need to be in Christ, but it takes you to dedicate yourself. God will call, but you have to answer the call. God will call on you, but you have to answer the call. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. 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 I'm just waiting on the Lord here for a minute. Hallelujah. What did you have, Terry? Do you have something? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
There's been some times over the years I travel quite a bit. And it was a few years back. I was taking Janelle Wagon Blaster at the time. I was taking her up to Alaska. And she was going up to see Kai. And it rained that day, and what happened was it got fogged in, and we couldn't get out. So I took a taxi into town, and I just wanted to go to church. I didn't care what church I went to. I just wanted. It was a Sunday, and so they dropped me off in town, and I walked up the hills, and I got to the first church that was available, because I just said, take me to a church. And what it was a Greek Orthodox church, and it was so tiny. It was like this octagon building, and it maybe fit 50, 75 people. And so I got to the door, and I said, they greeted me, and they said, are you, you know, do you have this faith? And I said, no. I said, I'm born again, and I love Jesus, and I want to worship with you. And they said, you're welcome to come in. So I went in, and there's no chairs whatsoever. The service was, we stood, and it was a two-hour service. And what happened was is the priest, he did all of those smoke and incense, and he was dressed in robes like the Old Testament. And I just sat there, and I just marveled, because it was like the Old Testament just came alive the way this priest was carrying and conducting the service. But we stood there, and I was receiving the word, and he was preaching the word of God right out of the Bible. It was so filled and anointed with the Holy Spirit. And I mean, that 2 hours was like 10 minutes, people. And we stood the entire time. There was nobody sitting down. And it was so glorious, the stuff that was coming out of his mouth and what he was sharing with us. And I just sat and marveled, because I almost wept, because I was like, I've seen from the Old Testament to the New Testament the feeling of the Holy Spirit just pouring out of this man's mouth. And so I left, and I got back here, and I came to service the next week, and I sat in the pews, and Pastor Jan, you taught the exact same thing that this minister had ministered not a week before in a body in Alaska, in a different dressing, in a different way than what I saw. But it was like God was sharing with me, we put the blinders on when we see all the denominations and the people. We're afraid of the people of color and the different churches, and we have all the prejudices. But my heart was like, I just want to go and, I want to worship God. Well, those people wanted to worship God. Greek Orthodox, and then I've been in Catholic church, they want to worship God, and I've been in Methodist church, I mean with Methodist women, they love God. People are hungry for God, people, and what he's saying is, I pour my spirit upon all flesh, and I saw it manifest. I've seen it twice, three times over, but I just wanted to share that with you to compliment what you're saying, because it's truth. It's truth.
Thank you, Terry. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, everybody, stand up. Yes, Mike. You want to say Merry Christmas? Okay. Hey, me and Sue will want to say Merry Christmas to all of you, too. Thank you so much for all the blessings, and the John's included in that. All been very gracious and thankful. What you got, Mike? Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Doing the, I just want to say one thing real quick. Doing the, was it Wednesday night service? Candlelight service? I was very impressed with John Shearer's son playing the violin. I mean, that's very managed. I've always been a football, basketball player, all that. But to see a young man play that this day and age is something going on. Amen. And y'all did good, the choir, church. Amen. Amen. I wrote a poem during your service that night, but this is not the one I want to share with you. This is the one God gave me this morning. This morning I was with my wife, and he was stirring my spirit, and he gave me a poem called The Rebirth Between Heaven and Earth. But that's not what this one. This is another one he gave me after this one. This is, I thank God for the privilege.
Get on with it.
I'm trying to, Holmes. I just want to be thankful, you know. This, you know, you got to be humble when God has called you to do something, amen. And don't think light of it when he calls. Okay, this ain't easy for me to come up here and do this. I just want to write and give it to him to read, but praise the Lord. This is Merry Christmas. And I just wrote this, so excuse the wording, but Merry Christmas. We are ever your Merry Christmas wherever you are and who you are. For the Son of Man born this day and paved the way that we could say Merry Christmas today. To each and every one who received his love and his grace, let us pray, praise, and worship him today. That we are free to say Merry Christmas, that may receive their gift today. The gift is not in stores to buy and give by a physical thing, but the eternal by the Spirit given this day by God the Father. Worthy are they this day that gave his Son and put him on display for you and me to receive our present today. Not made by man, but given by God this day. Let us delight in his way. Oh, this precious gift given this day, that we all can say Merry Christmas to each and every one today by the gift God gave the world today. Merry Christmas today, my Lord Jesus Christ today. For the gift you became today freed me from being a slave of death and the grave. How I love you, Father, for this precious gift you gave today. This gift of heaven to the earth you paid with your Son's life on this very day. Thank you, Dad, for my gift today, Jesus my Lord, each and every day.
That's pretty good. You know, what's interesting is that Mike, I got your last poem too at my office. I was reading it. You know, poetry comes out of the spirit of a man. I believe that. E.W. Kenyon says that. So as he was reading that, I knew that came from his spirit to us. Amen. Well, you guys going to have a good Christmas day? Well, you better have. Or I'm going to, I'm going to talk to the Lord about it. Everybody stand up so we can dismiss. Praise God. If anybody doesn't know the Lord, you better run up here after I dismiss the service or you're going to get in trouble. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your wonderful people. Now they've taken time to come out to listen and to be a part of everything. And Father, may they have a wonderful, blessed day in Jesus. And thank you for the candy cane. Amen.